It's been just over a week since former Senator George Mitchell released his report that named more than 80 former and current Major League Baseball players who allegedly took performance-enhancing drugs. Since then, a handful of players on the list have admitted to taking human growth hormone, or HGH. Some thought the Mitchell report would become sort of a blacklist for those who are still playing. But earlier this week, the Los Angeles Dodgers became the first team to sign a player named in the Mitchell report, a catcher named Gary Bennett. David Zirin is a columnist for SportsIllustrated.com. He joins me now in the studio. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you.
Great. So who is Gary Bennett, and what does the Mitchell report say about him?
Well, I'll tell you this. Even the most diehard baseball fan would be hard-pressed to tell you who Gary Bennett was before the Mitchell report came out. Gary Bennett is a catcher. He's somebody who was just signed, as you said, by the Dodgers, even though he was named in the Mitchell report.
If HGH use wasn't banned when Gary Bennett and others took it, why are they named in the Mitchell report?
Well, that's a great question. And to me, it's what I've been writing about consistently since this started, is why is anybody named in the Mitchell report? I mean, I find the whole thing to be incredibly fraudulent. Think about it like this. The period that George Mitchell looks at, he's looking at basically 5,000 players who had at least one at-bat or threw one pitch in a major league game. 5,000 players, he names 86. That's roughly 1.87% of all players who played in that time frame.
Roughly.
Nobody thinks that that number of players who may have taken steroids or HGH is 1.87%. If it was, it wouldn't be a problem. And Mitchell himself admits that that number is incredibly low, and this is just a sampling. And so if that's the case, why name the 86 at all? I think the point of it is to demonstrate to Congress and to the press that baseball is being proactive and doing something about this. And if you look at the players chosen, I mean, I almost had to laugh when I saw them because it's like almost like the United Colors of Benetton steroid users in that it's this incredible cross-section of players from people you've never heard of to MVPs to future Hall of Famers like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. And it's also players from all kinds of ethnic backgrounds. And it's almost like it's PR.
What about some of the bigger names in baseball then? I mean, isn't a team taking some kind of risk if they were to sign somebody who's in the Mitchell report, sign him for some huge multi-million dollar salary, at the risk that this guy who's named in the Mitchell report might be suspended for having used, you know, steroids?
That's a real risk. That's a real risk. And I think if Bud Selig had his way, the commissioner, they would not be making these signings. I mean, he wants there to be this show of unity and discipline, but that's just nothing that exists among the baseball ownership ranks. It's 30 different fiefdoms. It's people who can't stand each other, let alone come up with a unified plan of players they are or are not going to sign.
So, Dave Zirin, what impact ultimately will the Mitchell report have in the future if the teams are so sort of disparate?
The main impact the Mitchell report is going to have is on the patience of the casual fan. It was designed as a way to stave off Congress from going after baseball, from humiliating them publicly, or going after their antitrust exemption. But what it's resulting in actually is stirring Congress up. But what it's going to mean for the casual fan is, geez, all I want to do is watch the game, and what I'm getting instead is one anabolic life to live. Baseball should be very afraid about what they have opened up with this particular Pandora's box.
Dave Zirin is a columnist for SportsIllustrated.com and author of the book Terror Dome. Thanks so much.
My privilege. Thank you.